biggest story in the world today. Simone Biles, her decision to not compete. Bomani Jones, Israel Gutierrez, Sarah Spain, Bill Plaschke on the pressures of competing on the biggest stage and the boundaries around mental health on Around the Horn.
Welcome back, Bo.
And it's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables. And I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun. And sometimes that's not the case.
Simone Biles said after the morning practice and the five-hour wait, she was shaking. The first rotation on the vault, she said she got lost in the air and the mental was not there. She had to let the girls do it. The immediate medal, Team USA won silver. The first time they didn't win gold in a world competition since 2010, the Russian Olympic Committee taking gold. The slightly longer term is that Biles is, for all intents and purposes, day to day for the individual competitions later this week. And the full term is Biles, the athlete who we feel we know so much about and is indomitable and is the greatest of all time and is celebrated as such. But Biles, the person who we're learning more about after this, is A1 Global News as she navigates the gravity that she made the decision her mental health did not allow her to compete. National panel, there's a lot there. Sarah Spain, I'm going to start with you. Where would you like to start?
We're all disappointed. We can admit it, right? We wanted to see her. We're disappointed for her and her teammates. But the incredible strength that she exhibited here, what you're going to call this, if you haven't dived into the details and thought about it deeply enough, is some sort of collapse or choke. That's how we talk about sports. But what it indeed was somebody who recognized that in those moments when she was shaking, maybe anxiety, a panic attack, we don't know, before the competition, and then to, in the air, not know how many turns she had done, to not land it well, and to put her team behind the eight ball with the very first score that she posted in the first rotation, was to say, I'm going to make things worse for my team if I compete, and I might put myself at risk, which is something that she also mentioned on the podium today. She said, you know, I didn't want to do something silly out there because I wasn't mentally there. Think about the danger of the things that she's doing up there if she's not all together with it. So she removed herself from the competition to benefit both herself in that moment as she recognized she was unable to compete, but also her team. And she said, they've worked their whole lives for this. I don't want to take them out of the competition because I'm not able to go out there and do what I need to. So yeah, they put she put some pressure on them because they could only use the three scores that they had in each event and there was no rotation anymore. You got to use those people every single event. But they went out and got a silver medal, which is probably better than they might have done if Simone Biles had continued competing at the level that we saw on that first rotation.
Bomani Jones, when you take in that Biles said, I'm not going to compete today, and saying that the mental was not there, how do you hear that?
Well, I thought it took a certain measure of humility to be willing to say that. Like, we are talking about someone who's the greatest of all time at what she does, at the highest stage, and on something that was really, for her, as much as anything else, going to be a victory lap. There was nothing left for her to prove. You don't typically see so many competitors of her age continue after they've accomplished so much. And she looked around and said, nah, they'll probably be better without me. Like, this is kind of equivalent when you looked at Giannis in the finals, recognizing Chris Middleton should take some of those shots. It takes a humility to be that superstar and not demand to be the person in the light, in the moments, as they were right then. Now, what I'm curious to see, though, and I want to be careful about, is it's easy to talk about, well, people will say that this was a choke, but I haven't seen that discussion really pop up yet. Like, I don't think we need to fight at the ghost on that in particular, because I, like I say, you have seen it, I have not. I can just say that I personally have not. But I think it's a very important thing to recognize that part of why these stars are more comfortable saying these things about mental health is because we as a public are more accepting of those things than we have ever been before. So I want to be clear, we need to protect the people who have the courage to say these things in these moments, but also recognize part of why they can is that there's a world full of people who have created a much more comfortable environment to allow for such a thing to happen. I just don't want us to get too caught up on what a few crazy people say on the internet and extrapolate that out to be more than a whole lot of people who are there to put their arms around her, literally and figuratively.
Bill Plaschke.
No, Bomani, I'm sorry to say, I don't think we are as accepting as we should be. I have heard people today say, this is Tom Brady backing out at the start of the Super Bowl. This is LeBron James walking out on Game 7. And that's such a misguided notion. LeBron James and Tom Brady have no clue the pressure that Simone Biles is under. She's representing not just a team or a city, but an entire country. Even though it's a team competition, it's an individual. She's out there on 4 inches of balance beam on 90 seconds of a free routine. She has her whole life, her whole career, her whole expectations are boiled down into minutes, and she has to perform under the greatest of pressure, and she's the GOAT, and she's supposed to carry the country, and she has a little bit of a breakdown. I think we got to cut her a lot of slack, and I give her a lot of courage for acknowledging this fact. And a lot of these Olympians are going through this, and it has nothing. Again, Brady and LeBron have no clue what she's going through. Mm.
Israel, is that how you see it?
Well, yes, in a way, because what gets me is what the question I always ask, or I ask in this situation, is what got us to this point, or what got her to this point? Because this is a woman who's been doing this forever. She's been her entire life. She's been the best at it for as long as she's been doing it. It would seem she can do this with her eyes closed. And as Bomani said, this was supposed to be a victory lap for her. She could have taken down the difficulties and still had sort of a victory lap in these 2020 games. And so it just goes to tell you how severe all of this trauma, all of this stress is, whether it be just the stress of, you know, carrying your country in this sport where all eyes are on you, or the stress of being, you know, a young 24-year-old black woman in the States with all this power over, you know, at such a young age and all this, you know, all this power at all this such a young age. And then you talk about her with Larry Nassar being a survivor and wanting to make a statement and not allowing U.S. gymnastics to just sweep this under the rug and let the story pass by. A lot of things going on, not to mention that we're in the middle of a pandemic and there's no crowd there. And so maybe it might be more like all eyes are on her because there's no sound, there's nothing else, there's just her, and she is the centerpiece of this sport. So while, you know, we can have a debate on what it meant for her to bail out of it, I think it was bold of her, and I think it was better for her teammates. But you can't argue that it is impossible for everyday people like ourselves to understand the stresses that she is going through and that she has gone through. And even this Olympics has not been the same as her previous one, and I totally understand the experience.
Sarah Spain, back in.
Yeah, I just wanted to Izzy's point about Larry Nassar. One of the reasons she said she was willing to put in the time and effort to extend her career, compete again at the Olympics, was she did not want this U.S. gymnastics team to be completely devoid of survivors so that this federation could take the opportunity to sweep it under the rug and act like nothing had happened. She actually said she wanted to protect the upcoming athletes. She wanted to compete for herself, her team, and her country, and not for the federation that still has so much work to do to move beyond that. And for her to put that on her shoulders, in addition to the things she posted about social justice and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and everything else, to what Bill said, you add all that together, plus the COVID protocols and everything, and it's remarkable that any of them are
surely out there doing and it. And maybe that's, Bill, what you were getting at. But this isn't Brady, this isn't Rogers. There are in sports cases throughout all of history. If we go back now and we look at Roberto Duran saying no mas in the middle of a fight, or any number of instances where players. Pressure and stress is part of athletics, Bomani Jones, and how a competitor goes after it is. So there has to be a way to consider this with sensitivity and empathy, but also for what it is. I'll bring you back in, Bo, please.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, but I also think sometimes these are moments for us to realize how ridiculous they are when we talk about other people and other things. Like, maybe we don't need to go about it the way we go about other stuff because we don't need to do it with other stuff also. But I also think something that's worth keeping in mind is it wasn't just really about her performance today. If you watched the stuff the night before from the first night of the all-around, she couldn't stick a landing to save her life at that point. Like, it was clear that there was something that wasn't quite going right there. So I don't feel like this was just a person who showed up at this day and was like, I'm just not feeling it, I'm out of here. Something clearly wasn't right at these bizarro Olympics where you're generally out there by yourself in a way in an individual sport, but you're really out there, like the big there, by yourself in a way that people typically aren't on this stage.
Let me ask you
this. And the trials. And the trials. She wasn't great at the trials either.
Right.
This has been building.
This has been building for her. It's been building for Naomi Osaka as well. But let me ask you this. The greatest of all time. How it's both a term of endearment and a fact in Simone Biles' case, in Katie Ledecky's case, but it's also a stressor. How it's celebrated. How Biles has to live up to it, but she also wears the goat on her jersey. She's filmed videos with goats recently. How do you consider how the machine of goat played into this, Bill Plaschke?
I was really struck by her, one of her quotes to one of the interviewers. I'm sure you saw that. She said, I hope America still loves us. Can you imagine any other professional athlete in this country saying it after a loss? Yeah. I hope America still loves me. wow, what kind of pressure is on this young woman? And the GOAT thing just added to it, the whole Olympics.
Sarah Spieth.
Yeah, interestingly, in a recent article, she said one of her happiest times recently was when she was taking time off, which tells you a little bit about how she's felt about this competition. The GOAT thing is in some ways her own, right? She that's her logo. Goldie is her thing. So she was willing to put that weight on her shoulders. And to Bomani's point, she's still the GOAT. She could do nothing else at this Olympics, and she still would be. So not a lot to lose there.
Does anybody think we need to stop with the GOAT, though? I mean, for athletes that are still competing in this moment, I mean, can't we write the book about them later, Israel?
Absolutely. I think it adds, you know, added pressure to the, you look at Naomi Osaka, for example. A lot of people say, hey, a lot of the reason maybe it felt like too much for her because it was too much too soon, at least from a perception, at least from everybody watching or just, you know, the platform that she has. And with Simone Biles, it's been that way for a long time now. It just seems to, you know, have all come to a head.
With Osaka coming back to sport this month, right, she lit the cauldron, and she's called that the greatest moment in her athletic career. Today's loss in the third round, she said afterwards, I feel like my attitude wasn't that great because I don't really know how to cope with pressure, that type of pressure. So that's the best that I could have done in this situation. Bomani, again, we're hearing about pressure and stress. And I don't mean to harp on this, but this is where it gets challenging for many viewers at home, fans of sport. These are things that are always in sport. They're required of sport. The way one deals with stress and overcomes it is, in fact, part of sports. How do you hear Osaka there?
Well, I think with Osaka, we're dealing with a fairly particular situation where this is her home country. I think it'd be easy for us to forget that because when we hear her talking, she spends so much time in the States. She looks and sounds like someone that we would consider to be American. But to be Japanese at the Japanese Olympics and with a particular Japanese experience where her father is Haitian, her mother is Japanese, and that is not a country that is as accepting of people who are not fully Japanese as they are, you know, there's a lot going on, I think, with her in particular that I could see to add to a unique sort of pressure that she has on top of what she brought in here with her for the last few months and everything that was going on. Like, I think it's very human to hear these people say things. I also do think there's a certain measure of fairness in asking about champions. Part of being a champion is pushing through these things. Is it too much to ask of people to push through some of these things? Probably, but that's kind of how we got here. That's kind of the discussion that we wind up with. So I think there's room for us to not judge her while also understanding that, hey, there's a level to push through that she did not.
Israel Gutierrez.
It's a bit unfortunate for Naomi that this Olympics, the home country Olympics, comes just after her French Open and Wimbledon, situations there and addressing her mental health. And now you talk about this big pressure situation. What I see it as growth and just working through this, right? Again, a little bit of bad timing here, but if this would have been just some other tournament, then maybe we weren't making as huge of a deal out of it. And we'd say, hey, Naomi is working through this. She said the vulnerable things and she said what we wanted to hear, you know, what she needed to say for her growth. And then she can continue from there. It just so happens that these are the Olympic Games and she has a lot more to represent here. But overall, I think it's progress for her to be able to get back to the place she used to be.
There's been the last word.
Yeah, some people might try to grab that word attitude and the semantics of it can make them think she intentionally was one way or another. I think what she's trying to say is she isn't ready for this. Her rise has been so fast that any number of people could understand the difference between being relatively obscure and then being the highest moneymaker with tons of pressure, especially when she's taken a stand on social issues and you have people actively rooting against you because of the causes that you've been vocal about. We've seen that with her, Rapinoe, Biles. That adds on to this too.
What you're seeing is a younger generation setting boundaries around what mental health is and what they owe an audience. We as sports fans love to celebrate when our athletes get to the top of the mountain, but there could be another part of the equation. Witnessing and being there in support of them or in support of each other as they show us the other side. We're taking a break, buy or sell next.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Aaron Rodgers arriving at the office.
Kevin.
This was the Pam and Jim will they, won't they of the NFL offseason, and they've gotten together thanks to some concessions by both the Packers and Rodgers. Green Bay will void the 2023 season and help Rodgers seek a trade if he still wants one after this year, or 2022. Rodgers gives up the holdout and temporary power. Bill, is all now good at the office?
Yes, yeah, so there's going to be a lot of talk about who got the better of who, and even on this show we'll talk about that. They forget it, they all win. Aaron Rodgers will be play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers this year. Everybody wins. He gets a chance to make his $22 million. He gets his last dance. Packers get a chance to win a championship while the window's still open. Everybody wins. There's no, he said, everybody wins.
Dara Spain.
Well, the Bears don't win because there was a chance he might not come back.
The Bears never win.
He really, that's fair. That's fair. Maybe now. Never know. Got to keep the hope alive. Aaron Rodgers doesn't win. Aaron Rodgers, without the holdout, would be playing quarterback for the Packers this year and would be potentially demanding a trade next year as well. The only, I guess, real concession is, I guess, voiding 2023 and promising no franchise tag. There are promises that he'll get to get some say on personnel, and they'll try to clean up some of the background and the cold front between him and Gutekunst. But to me, this was the inevitability of not having any leverage, even if you're a GOAT player who's coming off an MVP season, because what he wanted was not to be a lame duck without guarantees, and that's still the case.
Is that word
still
again?
Using that word? I'm not yet making it a ban word,
he
but you know how I feel about it.
For that.
After the last conversation we had.
Trying to save time. Hall of Famer, former MVP, one of the greatest
all right, please save some time for us here, Sarah. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
But everybody loses a little bit, too. Like, Aaron Rodgers didn't get what he really wanted, which is to be on another team. He kind of has to come back in with his tail between his legs a little bit. The organization, the stable organization that just wants to do things their way, they're sort of selling a little bit of their soul for one more year of Aaron Rodgers when they're supposed to be, hey, you're not bigger than the team. We can move on without you. But then again, tail between their legs. Hey, one more year, Aaron. We got you. And then they're just supposed to talk about it next year. Nothing firm. I think it's both sides losing there, because if they go on and win a Super Bowl, Aaron's like, hey, I still want out. The Packers are going to be like, well, no, we want to keep you again. So it's just the weirdest holdout I've ever had.
They can win a Super Bowl.
Bomani Jones. Look, I understand that y'all don't recognize it, but if you listen closely, you can hear the notes of an all-time classic called Cheaper to Keep. But this is very much so a Cheaper to Keep sort of situation. If they had tried to trade Aaron Rodgers, they wound up with a crazy cap hit. If Aaron Rodgers were to try to retire, then Aaron Rodgers would have wound up having all those fines and everything else that would have come from not showing up. They needed to figure out how to do this and make everybody feel good about it. And the way you make Aaron Rodgers feel good about it is you only got to do it for a little while. After this year, if he's still mad, you can find some other place to go. And what the Packers really needed, they needed to buy themselves 1 year to figure out what to do. Because what none of us know is whether Jordan Love is worth a damn. We don't know what he looks like. We don't know what he throws like. He ain't wear a uniform for a game, a single game last year. They needed a year. Bill, back in.
Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback for the Packers. Case closed. Issue over with. Everybody wins. It's done.
No, Jordan Love doesn't win because he's still not going to play a game or put a uniform on.
I'm heartbroken.
And their GM doesn't win because guess what? They're the guy who almost scared off an MVP who's only won one Super Bowl while having
him
on the roster.
Still has this dude
hanging around that no one's ever seen play football that he plans on handing the reins.
It's like we haven't been talking about this every day for 7 months. I cannot believe you still have the energy and the desire to rip it up on this. Israel Gutierrez, Bill Plaschke. I have to say goodbye right now. Sarah Spain.
Yes, I don't win.
Bomani Jones. Showdown. 2 minutes.
I just did a double finger.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons. There was a report, the Bleacher Report, that the team could not and had not been in touch with Ben Simmons this offseason. The team denies it to the Philly Voice. Quote, we talked to Ben on his birthday a couple days ago. We've been in touch throughout the summer. They called it a pretty good dialogue. Sarah, anything to see here?
Sort of a he said, they said situation. So what's more important to me is the communication they should have, which is, where shall we send you? This is absolutely over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, Ben Simmons, he been meaning to answer the phone, but he's just so busy shooting 1,000 jump shots a day, baby. You know that's all he's doing out there. No, he's not doing any such thing. I don't know what they actually have to talk about in the offseason, but I assure you, neither of them wants to talk to the other.
Would happy birthday cover everything? Probably not. Point to each. We'll move on. Showdown two, this Javi Baez walk-off. Walk is probably not accurate and maybe a little too polite and genteel. He barely moved, barely got the first base. Javi Baez, Amir Garrett. Feud is long and, well, not so complicated because they hate each other. But Monty, who's fair and who's foul here?
I mean, I did think that it was a bit much for Javi Baez because he wasn't trying to celebrate. He wanted to fight. And much to my surprise, Amir Garrett, a dude who once tried to fight a whole damn team, did not provide it. Guess who else didn't want to fight? The rest of the Cubs. They want to go home and take showers.
Yeah, you'll be surprised to find out that Javi Baez was in the right here because he's the one who hit the walk-off. The odds are better for the pitcher to get the best of that situation. And he didn't. So take the L and sweep yourself away.
A walk-off what?
Walk-off win for Sarah Spain. Oh, no, that's what it was.
That's how she got these inflated totals.
So we've been talking a lot about the complications around the Tokyo Olympics, and rightfully so, but there are also incredible stories to be remembered within that context. One of them is Yusra Mardini. She's competing for the refugee team for the second Olympics. She's a swimmer, and she spent 3 hours pulling the inflatable raft that she and her family members escaped from Syria on years ago, and now finds herself using those same swimming skills to try to win a medal. It's one of those stories that we should focus on, and we could talk about all the other stuff, but I want to highlight the people who have spent their lives and are not going home to professional leagues and millions of dollars. They deserve a lot of love.
Thanks a lot for your time today. Bo, good to have you back. Don't be a stranger.
Very good.